You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
This is ESPN Radio.
What say you, America, oatmeal or chocolate chip? And it's not just oatmeal, it's oatmeal raisin. Let's be clear about that. Oatmeal raisin. Chris Carlin with you on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, also on Sirius XM Channel 80 and on your smart speaker by saying play ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests join us via the Goodyear Hotline. We'll get your take on this as well at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Feel free to get involved. And, of course, you can always tweet me at Chris Carlin on Twitter. We gave you the NFC predictions last hour. Right now, we give you the AFC predictions. So let's do it. And we start in the AFC East. And I've started to hear more and more people really suggest that they feel like the New England Patriots could win the division. Can we all just dial it back a hair, please? Just a little bit. I get it. They went out and spent a lot of money in free agency this year. Terrific. That's a great job by them. Here's the problem. The teams that traditionally have spent the most money in free agency have not seen the results from it. The Jets did that a few years ago. How'd that work out for you? I'm not saying that the Patriots are going to go in the tank completely, but can we just realize that you have to hold back a little bit when it comes to expectations when you are dealing with a rookie quarterback? I don't care if it was Mac Jones that was teaching Cam Newton the offense. Don't jump on the Patriots yet as far as winning the division. To me, that's foolhardy. The Buffalo Bills are the best team in the AFC East. The Buffalo Bills are the best team in the AFC. Did I stutter? I did not. The Buffalo Bills are the best team in the AFC. They will win the division in the AFC East. I don't think for a minute, even though they haven't done it before, that they are not capable of going to the Super Bowl this year. Meaning they haven't done it recently, not since the 90s. I think this could be the time that the Buffalo Bills actually get it done and make their way to the Super Bowl again. In the AFC North, don't hate on the Ravens. Don't hate on the Ravens because they have some issues at running back. Okay. J.K. Dobbins is out for the year. Justice Hill is out for the year. That's fine. They also, even though they brought in Le'Veon Bell, who's going to give them a big fat zero, they have Gus Edwards, who in his first three seasons in the league, as a reserve, somebody that carries the football 125 to 140 times a year, has rushed for over 700 yards in each of those seasons. So I'm going to go ahead and ride with the Ravens, considering they have an MVP at quarterback. They're going to have better weapons at receiver, and everybody forgets about one of the best tight ends in the league, and that's Mark Andrews. The Ravens win the AFC North. AFC South, you heard this from Tim Hasselbeck. I could not agree more. The Tennessee Titans are going to roll in the South. Carson Wentz is a disaster. Carson Wentz is a disaster. He is nowhere near the player that he was in 2017, and we all need to let go of that. He was the MVP before he got hurt that year. It is a long way from that, and I don't care that he's back with Frank Reich right now. I am not expecting much. I don't think he's the answer for the Indianapolis Colts. I look at the Titans. Please show me a bunch of weaknesses because I don't see them. They've got really good talent on offense. Ryan Tannehill's a good quarterback. We understand that when we talked about Jameis Winston last hour, it was in the context that when you are a quarterback and you're at this age of 27, 28, you are what you are at that point. Well, that wasn't the case with Tannehill once he got somewhere else. And just because Arthur Smith is gone, do we automatically think that Tannehill takes a massive step back? That Derrick Henry is going to hit that wall? Derrick Henry's a guy that I need to see hit that wall before I actually start to anticipate it happen. He's that dominant of a running back. And I think the Titans are pretty good defensively. I don't think they're bad at all. Titans are winning this division. There's nobody else in the AFC South that I have any reason to have any faith in. I really don't believe in anyone else there. And then I go to the AFC West, and there's not even a whole lot of reason to waste much time on who's winning the division. It's the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, Patrick Mahomes kind of annoyed me in the offseason when he started talking about potentially going 20-0. Slow your roll just a little bit. Okay, you've won a Super Bowl. You've been to another. I get it. You are the best player in this league, period. That's what you are. Going 20-0, Tom Brady couldn't do it, brother. He came close, but he couldn't do it. And I actually think the Bucs would have a better chance of doing it than the Chiefs do. The Chiefs are an outstanding football team. I am curious to see if that revamped offensive line is as good as has been made out to be, but they're going to roll in the AFC West. I firmly believe that. I do very much believe in the Chargers, as I talked about. I think Justin Herbert, Austin Eckler, the receivers, Mike Williams, the guys that they have, Keenan Allen is still very, very good. They are going to be explosive offensively this year, especially if Eckler is healthy. Explosive. The Chargers are going to put up massive numbers. And if we can just see Derwin James be healthy, it's going to make all the difference in the world. It's rare that you see one player who's not a pass rusher make that kind of a difference in a team defensively. Derwin James is that guy. And if he stays healthy this year, the Chargers are a wild card team. The other two teams that are wild card teams, the New England Patriots, as we discussed earlier, I'm not putting them in front of the Buffalo Bills in the division quite yet, but I am putting the New England Patriots in the postseason. Mac Jones will be good enough to get them to the playoffs, and they have enough talent to get to the playoffs. I just don't think they're at that next level quite yet. I'll tell you one thing I'm fascinated by with the Patriots. Damian Harris. Is he going to finally be an every down type back for New England? I know we've heard an awful lot about Lamondre Stevenson here in the preseason, but are the Patriots going to employ a bell cow type guy when they have had never done that in recent years and Sony Michel never turned into being that guy? When they drafted him, they thought he was going to be. Is Damian Harris going to be it? Keep an eye on that. Raj Grobe says no. Whatever. That's fine. Yes, I might have Damian Harris in the fantasy. That might have happened. But I am keeping an eye on that situation because I don't honestly believe that there's anybody else that gives them a terrific opportunity to run the football, even though as good as Stevenson has looked. And they're going to rely more heavily on it, I think, with Mac Jones than before. And then finally, I am going to put the Cleveland Browns in the postseason. I deliberated over this one between Cleveland and Miami. And I know everybody's high on the Browns this season. I don't know what it is. It could be the Beckham factor. It could be the combination of Beckham and Baker Mayfield. Feels like it's putting gunpowder with some lighter fluid a little bit, doesn't it? If things go wrong, couldn't that get ugly? But the Browns' talent is too much to argue with. It really is. Nick Chubb's a dynamic running back. Jarvis Landry, I still think, is underrated. And defensively, Denzel Ward, Myles Garrett, they're just so good. Just so good. The Browns will be a playoff team. The Dolphins will be in contention for it. Watch. Just watch. Tua is going to be better than everybody thinks he is. He's not going to be amazing, but Tua is going to do much more than people expect, and the Dolphins will be a playoff team a year from now. But the Buffalo Bills, they're everything to me. I think that was said in a song at one point, but I really truly feel that. I feel a warmth in my heart toward what they have become. I love watching them play. I love them defensively. I told you yesterday, you're going to see a breakout year in pass rush from A.J. Epenesa. I've loved Tre'Davious White. Years ago, interviewed him down at LSU. And, you know, you watch the guy play. He is the best corner in the league. And Josh Allen is special. Josh Allen is the guy that people didn't think could throw the football accurately in the NFL. And what happened? He has turned out to be the best quarterback in that class by far. Here's Josh Allen on this first step of this journey of 1,000 miles this season.
Well, I mean, it all starts week one. You know, it's 1 week at a time approach, and Coach talks about our standard, which is playoff caliber. And in order to win the whole thing, you gotta get into the playoffs. And in order to get into the playoffs, you got to win probably 10, 11 games. And, you know, the most important one's the next one.
I counted four cliches in 17 seconds right there. Well done. Well done, my friend. Outstanding. Josh Allen is going to challenge for MVP. He's going to challenge for MVP. Is he going to win the MVP? He is not. Who is? We're going to tell you that in a bit. But we will tell you who the defensive MVP of the league is going to be this year. And that is Chase Young. The Washington football team 2 years ago were beaten by the New York Giants late in the season that set up Washington to get the number one overall pick. And it is ironic because if the Giants had the number one overall pick, they would have taken Chase Young. And instead, they are going to end up for the next 10 to 12 years trying to figure out how to block Chase Young. Three picks later, the Giants took Andrew Thomas. He is a turnstile. Chase Young is going to blow it up in the league this year. A minimum of 15 sacks this year for Young, and that number could be closer to 18 or 19, maybe even 20 or 21 based on a 17-game schedule. And don't forget who else he plays with on that defensive line. Sweat, Jonathan Allen, they are so, so good up front that it's going to make things a little bit easier for Young to get to the quarterback. Yes, he's going to get a ton of attention, but this is going to be a breakout year. And really, his first year was terrific. But this is the year that Chase Young, in year two, wins defensive MVP in the league. Your offensive rookie of the year, that's Zach Wilson of the New York Jets. I'm hook, line, and sinker. I am a big, fat flounder in the Jets' boat, flopping around right now. You have got me. You have got me. I'm believing in all the hype. I'm believing in Tony Romo. I'm believing in what Dan Orlovsky. I'm believing in what all of these pundits and great quarterback evaluators, Phil Sims, are saying about Zach Wilson. And he does have more to play with in terms of playmakers and a better offensive line than Sam Darnold ever had. He may lose in week one because the Jets are just not very good defensively. But also recognize that Wilson, whose game I did the Boca Raton Bowl when they were playing in the postseason this year, BYU against Central Florida. And I have to be honest, I didn't think much of it because UCF didn't have their two top defensive backs who were sitting out for the NFL draft. And there was no reason to think that Wilson wasn't going to chuck it up all over the lot. And he had five touchdowns in the first half. It was ridiculous. So why wouldn't I think that that was a skewed performance? Well, everything you hear, everything you see has shown through the preseason that mentally he's years ahead of where he is. And at the same time, he's also a physically gifted player. Here's the one thing with his arm. Well, one thing that Zach Wilson will run into with his arm that I've already seen. He will have to learn, and it's going to be the hard way, that when you have incredible arm strength, it's not enough to force it into tight windows in the league. And what I mean by that is when you throw the football late, when you pick up on an open receiver late, in college, when you have that ability, you can throw a bullet and somebody's going to catch it. In the NFL, that pass gets intercepted. And a lot of times it ends up going for 6 the other way. That's where the learning curve will come from, but I do think he'll be your offensive MVP. Rush, should we just go straight on into the MVP, or should we hold that for a bit?
I say you just throw him a little nugget. Just tease it and keep him holding, man, because I want to know, too, who you got. Because I know what Vegas has, but I have a feeling you might be thinking a little different.
I am thinking a little bit differently. I think Josh Allen is right at the top of that list, right? Who's the Vegas favorite? Give me that right now. Who is the Vegas favorite, Raj, for MVP in the NFL, offensive MVP?
Offensive MVP, according to our friends at Caesars, of course. Favorite as we speak is...
I would think
Patrick
Allen's
Mahomes.
Probably right there. Patrick Mahomes, of course. Yeah. Of course. Mm-hmm. What am I thinking?
Yeah. Well, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, all the favorites. But you, and of course, Josh Allen's up there. But I know you're
none of them are winning
one of those guys.
The MVP this year. None of them are winning the MVP this year. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Your calls on the NFL, on your team. What are your expectations? And frankly, am I wrong about what I expect out of your team? Let's hit the Dr. Pepper call-in line right now with Coop in North Carolina. Coop, you're on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. What's up, Dud?
Just wanted to check in with you guys about my Eagles. I know a lot of people are doubting us this year. We're going a little bit under the radar as an underdog, and I love it. Because the expectations are low, that means when we give them those wins, everyone will be surprised. I want to call in and say, you know, that NFC East is a bit winnable, more winnable than it may seem.
Well, because
with
it's a terrible division,
that we have
that's
out
why
there,
it's winnable.
As in the quarterbacks for the other team, I don't see much help in the backup area. You know, you have Fitzpatrick. And I know, you know, you have Heineke behind him, Daniel Jones. You have, I'm not sure who's behind him, Dak. And you have a couple of guys that they dropped off, and then they brought in Anderson. So, you know, I'm pretty content with my lineup and with my team. And also, we added Kerrigan. We added Nelson. We added some defense.
Listen,
pieces.
You added some good players, Coop, and thanks for the call. The problem is with the Eagles is that, you know, I saw this so much. With fans in the offseason saying, oh, Ryan Kerrigan, adding him is like adding Chris Long, the Super Bowl year. No, it's not. No, it's not. You're nowhere near a Super Bowl team this year. I'll say this. I love Jalen Hurts. I think Jalen Hurts is a high-quality NFL quarterback. And to be honest, there are a lot of people inside that organization that don't really want Jalen Hurts to succeed. I honestly believe that when Jalen Hurts was selected, so let's just call it based on, let's call it an educated opinion in talking to people. Jalen Hurts was a Doug Peterson pick. So if he doesn't work out, I don't think Howie Roseman's going to be all that broken up about it. I think Howie Roseman has his eyes on Deshaun Watson. Why? I don't know. I don't know why. You want Deshaun Watson, considering everything that he is dealing with right now. And you could talk about when he's going to get cleared and all that. That's fine. I mean, the list gets longer and longer and longer, seemingly by the day. And Deshaun Watson's going to be a healthy scratch this year. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Eagles are not a playoff team. They're not a horrible team in a bad division. But they're not a playoff team. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $700 on average. Well, as we hinted at a moment ago, Vegas, they have their odds to win the NFL MVP, but what does Vegas know, really? It's Chris Carlin on ESPN Radio. 5G is here, my friends. But the big carriers want you to sign a pricey long-term contract to get in on the action. Well, not anymore, because Straight Talk Wireless has rolled out 5G coverage nationwide with plans starting at just $35 a month with no contract. And get a Samsung Galaxy A32 5G for only $299, all on America's best networks. 5G coverage, 5G phones, less money. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. 5G capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary. The MVP of the league that you're not thinking of. Pay attention, write it down. That is only if you want to make money. It's next on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. The MVP is not who you think it is. Chris Carlin, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, also on Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker by saying play ESPN Radio. Download the Overheard podcast for curiously delightful conversations. Overheard around National Geographic's headquarters, presented by the City Advantage Platinum Select Card, the card built for your next adventure. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Your calls in just a moment. This year's MVP, Matthew Stafford. You might think I'm insane. I get it. Matthew Stafford, everybody is asking the same question. Was it a guy that was not a great quarterback, or was it a guy that is a great quarterback that has been a caged animal, so to speak, in Detroit with the Lions and has always been held back by the organization? I believe it to be the latter. I really do. And for me, when I watch Stafford play over these last several years, the thing that sticks out the most is not just what he was able to do when Calvin Johnson was there, but what he was able to do after Calvin Johnson left. You know what his numbers are after Calvin Johnson left? 119 touchdowns, including a half a season, an injury-shortened season in 2019, where he only played 8 games. 119 touchdowns and 46 interceptions. Routinely throwing for over 4,000 yards. He is working with Sean McVay now, who is a brilliant offensive coach. And as I said yesterday, and I've said many times, when you had Jared Goff in that situation with Sean McVay in his headset, and he is giving him the answers to the test as he is approaching the line of scrimmage, and he's still not acing the test, it's time to move on. Do you think Sean McVay knows what he's doing when he wants to give up as much as they did to go and get Matthew Stafford? Here are the numbers for Matthew Stafford this year. Are you ready? 68% completion percentage, 5,000 yards, 45 touchdowns, 13 picks. It's going to be a career season, and I might be underselling it. And my friends, in gambling, we're always looking for that magic word. What's that magic word? Value. Value. He is 18-1 right now to win the MVP, according to our friends at Caesars Sportsbook. Jump on it. Jump on it hard and ride Matthew Stafford to the MVP this year. Listen. I can't help you. It's only if you're interested in making money that I can't help you otherwise. If you're not, no need. Don't pay attention. It's fine. You can go bet Patrick Mahomes at 5-1 if you want. Matthew Stafford is the 8th choice to win the MVP this year. The 8th choice. Russell Wilson's in front of him. Where's the rest of our list in front of him? Let's scroll this up a little bit. I want to see who else we're talking about, because we're obviously talking about the likes of Josh Allen. We're talking about Aaron Rodgers and Brady. Josh Allen's 13-1. That's not bad value. Lamar Jackson's in there. Dak Prescott is ahead of him. I mean, come on. Come on. Guys, 18-1. Write it down. Write it down. Weapons galore to work with. Even though Cam Akers is gone, a better running game than you realize with Henderson and with Sony Michel. 18-1. Go make your money. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. David in Michigan is up next with Chris Carlin on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. David, what do you got, dude?
Hey, guys, how's it going? I was going to tell you about my favorite team and their expectations this year.
All right.
Pretty easy one for the Packers. It's going to be a Super Bowl.
Oh, well, then just lock it up. It's over.
Yeah.
Why do you think it's so easy for the Packers to go to the Super Bowl when the defending champions are the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and brought back 22 starters? And I don't know if you know this, but there are 11 starters on each side of the ball. So when you bring back 22, that's all of them.
Right. I'm glad you mentioned that because the NFC Championship team Packers brought back almost all of their players as well, outside of Corey Linsley, the starting center. And
who's one of the best centers in the league, by the way, and got paid like
correct. The new guy's coming along as well. But we also added some small pieces. And Rodgers added all these expectations to himself with what he pulled this summer.
Yes, he did, David. Thanks for the call. Hey, they got Randall Cobb back. Love it. They'll be in the NFC Championship game, but they're not going to the Super Bowl. Caleb in Missouri. Caleb, are you jumping on board the Los Angeles Rams bandwagon?
Well, I've been on board for years. I mean, since they were back in St. Louis, I've been a huge fan, even when we only won 5 games in about a 3-year stretch there. 15 games, excuse me.
What do you got on them this year?
I was ready to eviscerate you earlier, okay? And then I heard you say something about Matthew Stafford being the MVP, and I appreciate that. I do appreciate that. That's lofty praise. But I also think just what you said about Patrick Mahomes being the best player in the NFL, Aaron Donald is the best player in the NFL, hands down. You can't
Aaron Donald is the best defensive player in the NFL, and thanks for the call. Patrick Mahomes is the best player in the NFL. Patrick Mahomes plays the most important position on the field and is the best by far at it. Period. Case closed. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests join us via the Goodyear Hotline. You know that new taunting rule? You know, we had heard that the NFLPA actually wanted it, but did they? Maybe not so much. What if you could put the same type of rigor that pro leagues use for players into your hiring process? Well, you can when you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's technology finds qualified candidates for your open roles and proactively presents them to you, and you can invite your top choices to apply for your job. No wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com. That's ZipRecruiter.com. The NFLPA, not thrilled with how they're being portrayed. We'll discuss next. It's Chris Carlin on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Wait a second. I thought the NFLPA actually was in favor of strengthening that taunting rule. Maybe not so much. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Don't forget, if there is a game, someone's betting on it. Stream season 2 of Better Days, the Mike Greenberg-hosted series that brings the true stories of unforgettable gambling adventures to life. All episodes are now streaming only on ESPN Plus. A couple of more minutes and some open lines to get to your calls at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 on the Dr. Pepper call-in line on your team and your expectations. Matthew Stafford is the MVP of the league. Then the Bills over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the Super Bowl this year. That's right. We'll get to that in just 1 second. But I did want to mention, you know, there's been a lot made of this taunting rule that the league decided to implement this offseason to strengthen the teeth that it has, so to speak. That John Mara on the competition committee, Rich McKay, some others, were talking about how they were getting tired of seeing players taunt one another. And through the preseason, it's gotten a little bit better, but there has been some real problems. There have been some real problems in determining what is taunting and what isn't. And part of the recommendation and the change in the rule when the league announced it was the rationale was that this was something the Players Association wanted as well. Well, maybe not so much. J.C. Treader, who plays for the Cleveland Browns, is the NFLPA president, and in a column published on Tuesday on the NFLPA's website, said that the union did not ask for an emphasis on the enforcement of the rule against taunting. His actual quote was, "I can assure you, as an attendee of the competition committee meeting myself, that was not the case, and on the contrary, we would support the removal of this point of emphasis immediately." So the league is pushing an agenda of wanting to downplay that and take away some of the fun from the players in a way that really, I guess they're trying to cater to an audience that they think just doesn't like it all that much. Well, I get it. There are older guys who just don't care. I mean, if we're being truthful about it, there are just older white guys that don't like seeing players celebrate all the time and get in each other's face. But in so much of the way that they've come up to play the game, taunting is almost a sign, I wouldn't say a sign of respect, but it's, I got you on that play. Now, there is a line. If you want to shove the ball in somebody's face, that's taunting. You can't do that. But if you're going to talk smack amongst players, that happens on every single play. And if you're talking smack as both players get up and you're going to call a penalty for that, it's absolutely absurd. And we saw a couple of bad calls early in the preseason, and you can only hope that this is done the right way, that when you are actually penalized for taunting, you are actually taunting too much. Otherwise, don't complicate this. Don't we have enough issues for the officials in games right now to where there's a gray area and it's kind of left up to their judgment, and then their judgment gets overturned by replay? I mean, you're putting more on the officiating crew at that point. You know, to me, taunting is pretty simple. You know it when you see it. Dwayne in Pennsylvania is up next on ESPN Radio. Dwayne, what's going on, bud? How are you?
Hey, man, what's going on? So, reaching out, you alluded to it a little bit here in the previous segment. Peter King reportedly saying it as well with the Rams and Matthew Stafford. Man, you got a team here, past 5 years, top five defense, arguably maybe top three, depending on the year. I think a very underrated receiving core when you get into things like Yak, in terms of, you know, yards after.
Van Jefferson could be their breakout guy this year at receiver.
And DeSean Jackson, even an older DeSean Jackson, is still DeSean Jackson.
He's a home run threat on any play.
And that's something I think, coming off his rookie year, maybe filled that gap a little bit. You alluded to as well with the running back, you know, Sony Michel. There's still a committee. I think it was going to be that way anyway. My question is, okay, you know, you have Matthew Stafford in that caliber of possibly an MVP season, and it's a dangerous game, but you take this back a few years.
Patriots, I got to get to the question the quick. Bowl. We got about 30 seconds.
Does Matthew Stafford add enough value over Jared Goff to get them to that pinnacle to win that Super Bowl?
Eventually, yes. It won't be this year. Thanks for the call. But eventually, yes. I do believe Matthew Stafford with Sean McVay in Los Angeles will win a Super Bowl. I don't think that's 4 years away. I think that's 2, maybe three. It all begins tomorrow night. Chris Carlin on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.